Hour number two, Robbie and Rexrow, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rexrow, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Thursday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. And it's that time of the week we welcome in our good friend Jared Stillman to the program, as we do every Thursday morning at 7 o'clock. Jared, what's going on? How are you?
Good to see you, Robbie. Joe, it looks like apparently dropping the kid off in East Lansing, Michigan. I'm just looking at your background here. And I feel like you must be at the palatial presidential suite at the East Lansing Holiday Inn. So,
yeah.
I mean, it looks fantastic, John. I didn't know that you traveled like that. So, it's good to see you guys.
I'm at my in-law's house and I found the coffee, Jared. So, just be happy for that.
The Jared, percentage chance that Dylan Radins is not on this roster when final cuts are made.
I'll go with 75%. So I don't see is for me is do the Titans think that Dylan Radins can actually play guard? Trevor, who is infinitely more credentialed than any of us, but especially me, to make that kind of decision, considering that he did it in the NFL, Trevor says no. So if he doesn't think that Dylan Radins can play guard, then I think the Titans are more likely to keep somebody on the roster in a backup capacity who can, you know, play guard. So I don't see that. I think that the Titans, the real question for me with the offensive line is not about Radins. I think they've made their decision on him by not practicing him anymore at the tackle position. What they probably did was they probably sat him down and they said, hey, Dylan, like, this is not, we're not going to give you any reps at tackle. We're going to give Andrew Rupicic more reps at tackle, and we're going to give Christian DeLauro more reps at tackle because we need to see them with more reps. We got you tackle reps. Now we want to see your guard reps for your versatility because we might need you. But the reality is they've pretty much given up on him, and now he's just kind of in the way. So I don't foresee the Titans viewing him as a swing tackle because I don't think they think he can play tackle. And so if he can't play tackle, then he has to play guard. I'm not sure they view him as an upgrade from Jordan Roos. Certainly, I don't think he's an upgrade from Corey Levin, who has experience in the league as a backup. So I don't foresee the need to have Dylan Radins on this football team, and I think they will see the same thing.
Yeah, this idea that, like, oh, there's no way he could be, you know, viewed above, like, Corey Levin is a little odd to me. But I don't know. I don't know how they view him in the pecking order. Obviously, he's been ahead of most people because they've given him all these opportunities to show he can start. You're making the assumption that so now he just falls behind all these other guys who are with the twos and threes. It's hard for me to buy that. And here's the thing. I heard what Trevor said about Dylan as a guard, and it totally makes sense. Like, you've got to, as he said it, what drop anchor, right? Like, you've got to have that strength to be able to deal with those defensive tackles. But how much evaluating of Roos and DeLauro and Rupicic and all these guys has anyone done? None, because all I know is that Malik Willis and Logan Woodside have pressure in their faces like in a half second when those guys are on the field. So, it's possible you're right, but I think 75% is quite high.
Yeah, but also those same quarterbacks have pressure in their face when Radins is on the field. And so, I think it's a number standpoint. They went with eight last year, eight offensive linemen into the season. In theory, they could probably go with nine if they wanted to, but I don't think that Dylan Radins is worth an extra roster spot when he probably can't play guard. We know he can't play tackle. He doesn't play center, whereas Levin could play center or Levin could play guard, and they could move move Aaron Brewer over to center. I think that Radins is – there may be this idea that he's versatile, but as opposed to him being able to play multiple positions, I'm not sure he's able to play any position. And I think the Titans have probably succumbed to that. And the thing about this roster is there's going to be spots, because every time I try to go through and decide who's made this team or who's going to make this team or whatever, I always end up with like 49 spots or 51 spots. And so they'll have spots. But I just think that at this point, they know what Dylan Radins is. And while another team might claim him, I don't think they're worried about that.
So, Jared, at what point, once we get into the regular season here, are you concerned about Treylon Burks not having more snaps than Nick Westbrook-Ikhine?
At what point?
At what point?
I mean, right now? I mean, I think that here's the thing. Like, Westbrook-Ikhine is a backup. And what's happened around here, and I'm sure other teams in the league are like this too, where they'll put a backup at a starting position and say, oh, no, it's fine. And I normally, for the most part, I'm okay with taking a young guy that's shown promise and said, all right, Amani Hooker, you're in the starting lineup. David Long, you're in the starting lineup. I'm okay with that. With Westbrook Akine, he's in the starting lineup by default. He's a backup. He's a solid backup. But if the Titans want to, you know, really turn this offense around, they need it to be like the 2020 offense, and they need Austin Hooper to be like Jonnu Smith. They need Robert Woods to be like Corey Davis, and they need somebody else to be like A.J. Brown. And Nick Westbrook Akine is not going to be that guy. So when am I concerned about it? Now. That's when I'm concerned about it.
Well, it's never going to be the exact replica of something like that. You know, they have Kyle Phillips. Of course, that team, I believe, had Adam Humphries. So maybe you get Kyle Phillips, but he's not hurt half the time. You know, Chigakonkwo could be something a little bit different than that team had. I don't see how you thought that Treylon Burks was just going to snap of the fingers and he's a starter. I mean, I hear you on Westbrook Akine, although he's gotten so much better than I would have ever guessed he could be.
Not a backup.
That's fine. I mean, I would agree that Treylon Burks at some point this season needs to leapfrog him for the Titans' sake. They need that to happen. But
I don't see why we weren't allowed to snap our fingers and want Treylon Burks to start on this football team.
Well, yeah, I mean, you could want it, but you got to be realistic about it happening. Go ahead.
They drafted Jack Conklin, and they snapped their fingers, and he started at right tackle. They drafted Adoree Jackson, and they snapped their fingers, and he started at corner. They draft guys. It's amazing to think that teams draft guys in the first round, and that guy comes in and plays. And I don't understand why we're supposed to sit here and say, well, that's too high of an expectation to trade A.J. Brown for this guy, use the 18th pick in the draft on him, and not expect him to play. Jared, that is too much to ask the 18th overall pick to come in here and play. I'm like, teams take guys in the second round and expect him to play. If he was a quarterback taken with the 18th overall pick, he would be expected to play. So this idea of, well, I mean, I don't understand how you could actually think Burks would be ready to play. I'm like, if the Titans didn't think he'd be ready to play, they might not have made that trade. And so
he's going to play, though, Jared. He's going to play.
Not only does he need to play, he needs to be effective and be effective like a star. And right now I'm worried they're not going to get that. The first day of practice I saw it, and ever since then there have been some glimpses, but that's what the Titans are replacing. That's what they need. They don't need him to come in here and be worse than Nick Westbrook Akine.
Well, you're the one who made all the excuses for the trade, so you know. You made your bed, Jared. Now you can sleep.
I also didn't know that he was completely out of shape, overweight, and had asthma. And if I had known that, then maybe that would have changed my opinion. But I gave him the benefit of the doubt, and I have not complained until now. Now that all the competition that matters is over, and he's got one catch in the preseason, now that all that's over and he's not doing anything in the joint practices outside of a really nice catch he had that I didn't see against the Bucs, now that that's over, all that's left is the Giants. And he's got to play. He's got to play against Buffalo. He's got to play, and he's got to matter. It's not just, well, you know, we got 13 snaps, Jared, and then after the game, Vrabel, well, we can't be mad at him for not catching the ball because quarterbacks aren't throwing in the ball. He's got to play. He's got to be a difference maker. All those other guys you mentioned are role players. You know, Woods is more than that, but the Phillips and Okonkwo and Akine, and those guys are role players. And role players are good when they play their role. Like Dontrell Hilliard is the third down back. He's a role player. But then there are certain guys that have to be more than that, and that's what Treylon Burks has to be for this team. And I think it is wrong to accept anything else.
So, Jared, to that point, we're in the last week of the training camp portion of the schedule here. What should expectations for this Titans team be in your mind heading into this season?
Oh, boy, I tell you, that's so tough. I think that I actually printed off today a composite schedule of the NFL, so just one page that has that like grid form where it's got every team's game, and I'm going to pick every game. And then that way it has to almost correspond like, oh, I had the Chargers losing this game. I can't just look at the Chargers schedule and go win, loss, win, loss, win, loss, and pick every game. And then that may give me an idea. I think winning the division should still be the expectation around here, even if nobody else outside of here expects the Titans to win the division, which apparently nobody outside of Nashville thinks the Titans have a prayer because
it's a runaway for the Colts.
I mean, they acquired Matt Ryan, and if there's anything I've learned over the last half decade, it's that apparently Matt Ryan never loses. So I think the expectation here should be to win the division because I think this team is at the end of its window. The window that, like the Predators window, kind of surprised us when it opened, which I think it opened a year before the Cup final run. I think that this team, their window surprised us when it opened in 2019. Nobody was expecting it. They lost by 11 points to the eventual Super Bowl champ that won their Super Bowl by 11 points. They had a shot in 2020. The defense wasn't good enough. They had a shot last year. The quarterback completely crapped his pants. I think that they still are in the window, but I'm worried they're getting ever so closer to the 2004 Titans when Eddie George got released and Samari Rowland, Derek Mason, and that was when the salary cap was real and they had significant cap issues. And the next season they came out and lost to the Texans. And I was like, okay, that is the end of, and this was, you know, a three-year expansion team at the point. I'm like, this is it. That window is done. It's over. 2003 made the playoffs. 2004, I think they were like 4-12. I worry that that era is going to come upon the Titans at some point here, and I don't think it's this year. So they got to make hay while they can with this group. I think this might be the last year because the drafting has not been very good lately. So I think the expectation should be to win the division.
Do we have time for more with Jared? I just, you know, he tends to ramble. Okay. Well, I hear what you're saying with all that. I do look at this team and I feel like it could be special defensively. I think Derrick Henry could be special this year. Give me, Jared, your biggest reason for optimism with this team. I want to hear sunshiny Jared about the Titans.
I think the defense is going to be pretty good. I really think that, you know, right now, as far as trust, I almost trust every position except for that one corner spot. But I actually think Roger McCreary is – I think he's a ball player. And I think that's what they need. You know, he's got – I think he's like Vrabel at corner, the kind of player he was. Almost like Malcolm Butler a little bit. Like, he's so – he's like a magnet to the ball, and his physical traits wouldn't say that he's that way because he's got short arms. But I think McCreary's pretty good. I trust every single position on the defense that outside of the injuries to whatever's wrong with DeNico Autry – or whatever, you know, Bud Dupree seems to always get hurt all the time. Outside of injuries, on defense, my biggest question mark from the corner spot is Zach Cunningham at middle linebacker. I think that he is the 10th best player on that defense, which is saying something because he's pretty good. And so with a team that runs the ball, and if the quarterback doesn't turn it over, I think the Titans are going to find themselves on the right end of a lot of scores, a lot like last year's Miami game, where Tannehill wasn't overly special, and it wasn't like the Titans were gashing the Dolphins in the run game, but the defense was so good that they let Miami lose the game themselves. And I think that that's something that this team's gonna have to do. I was thinking about this today, the two-minute drills. You know, Tannehill in 19 and 20 was automatic with the game on the line. Last year, and in that Ravens playoff game, he has not been. He has not looked good in these two-minute drills here. And I'm like, the defense is going to have to keep Tannehill from having to win games for this team. So, to me, you want sunshine and rainbows. I think the defense is pretty good, and I think the defense is going to be pretty good. And I think they might have one of the most disruptive players in the league in Jeffrey Simmons. And I think they've got just solid across the board. So there you go. Sunshine, rainbows at this, you know, 7 a.m. on this beautiful Thursday morning before I go out and get my swim workout in. Titans defense. There you go.
There we go. Jared Stillman.
Roomba? A little Roomba in the pool?
Oh, yeah.
Nice.
I don't even know what that is. I thought that was a vacuum cleaner.
It's kind of like Jazzercise. I think you should look into it.
Oh, yeah. Gotcha. Would be awesome. Jared Stillman, our guest, joins us every Thursday morning at 7 o'clock. Jared, thank you for joining us. We'll be listening at 2 o'clock.
Guys, take care. We'll see you.
All right. Jared Stillman, our guest here on Robbie and Rex Show. We'll take your thoughts on the Titans, 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. 1025. Kick off week one with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook. Join today to get started with $150 in free bets guaranteed when you place your first $5 bet. Just sign up with the promo code ROB to get in on the action. Then you can turn game day into payday all season long. I like the Titans pretty heavily against the Giants coming up in week one. That's probably the direction I'll be looking, but you take it any way you want to take it. Just play your way and bet on more than just the final score. Wager on everything from touchdowns to total yards to catches. You could even combine your bets for a chance at a bigger payout with a same-game parlay. Don't fumble your chance to get $150 in free bets, win or lose, with promo code ROB. Make every moment more with FanDuel, official sportsbook partner of the NFL. Must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable free bets that expire 14 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Got a gambling problem? Call the Tennessee Red Line at 1-800-889-9789. We are your racing station, 102.5, 106.3. The game is Nashville's home for NASCAR. Tune in this Saturday at 5 o'clock for the Coke Zero Sugar 400. NASCAR on 102.5, 106.3. The game is presented by the Nashville Fairgrounds Speedway. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3. The game streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by the law offices of Amanda Gentry. We are live from the Hillside Medical Game Studio on this Thursday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. John on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, says, I think Joe meant Zumba, not Roomba. It's coming from John on the text line.
Wait, what's Roomba?
I think Roomba is the vacuum.
I like water aerobics.
Yeah.
Zumba is the pool thing. Ah, dang it. It's also the first time, I guess, that I've ever like realized that they sound, you know, Zumba and Roomba sound so similar. That's right. Roomba is the, yeah, okay. Like it looks like, doesn't it kind of look like the Raiders stadium?
Yeah,
like
pretty much.
Big, like a big Roomba. Yeah. Zumba. All right, Jared, if you're listening, I'm sure you obsessively are listening, so you can make stuff up later. Zumba. Zumba, Jared.
We wish him good luck in his pool workout coming up here in just a few minutes. Let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Javian, who wants to weigh in. Javian, thanks for calling into Robbie and Rex Road.
Hey, how you guys doing?
We're good, man.
Good.
Yeah, I was just calling to give my thoughts about the Titans on how they're going to look this season. I think that if Tannehill can have his tight ends, you know, just like when we had Jonnu, that's when Tannehill had one of his best years. I think if Austin Hooper and the rookie can get it going, I think the offense will be pretty straight. Now, the defense, I think they'll be top five, in my opinion.
Hey, thanks for the call, Javen. We appreciate it. I mean, the expectation for the defense should be pretty high, and you know, top five, top seven, whatever you want to throw it out there. Like, nobody's talking about that around the league. Like, I think most people don't have the same expectation around the league that we have here locally for this Titans defense.
Bottom 10.
Yeah, apparently so. A lot of people, and this keeps going back to, like, people have no clue who David Long Jr. is. Not a clue. Just no idea who David Long Jr. is around the league. And that's fine. I think you're going to find out this year, because I think he's going to be a pretty darn good player for this Titans team. But, you know, I was thinking about it. You know, Jared just said that he thought that Zach Cunningham may be the 10th best player on this defense. And I'm kind of going through it right now. I mean, he may be right. He may be 9th or 10th when as I go through the defense right now. And if that's the case, you're probably in pretty good shape if you're the Titans on that side of the ball.
Yeah, as soon as he said that, I was like, yeah, I might. You know, only put him behind one corner. You know, I don't know. I'd put him behind Tart, who I think starts. So, you know, it's a little bit of an exaggeration. But on Jared terms, it's not a huge exaggeration. So, you know, I'd put him maybe more like 7th or 8th. But it's a fair point. He's a good player. He is a box linebacker, so to speak. Right? I mean, all the coverage numbers on Zach Cunningham in his career are not good. But, boy, does he wreck shop on early downs, man. Those two are going to be fun to watch in some situations. And it's going to be interesting to see then what the Titans do with their sub package. But, no, I agree with the caller. I mean, the tight end, too, is it's a big thing for the offense. And you have to discuss it whenever you break things down. I still, though, do wonder where the big plays are coming from. And that's where I think Burks and McMath are two guys who they need to figure out some ways to, you know, to take some shots with guys like that until Burks can make himself a more essential part of the offense, which I agree needs to happen this year.
Well, it needs to happen quick. I mean, I think I'm more on Jared's side of this thing. Like, you need Treylon Burks to be out there and ready to play and ready to contribute and ready to be, you know, a difference maker for this team. Now, I'm not going to panic if that doesn't happen in week one, but you get to week four or five and that's not happening. To me, that's a problem this year with Treylon Burks. Like, you drafted the guy in the first round. He needs to be out there and ready to play and be a difference maker for you.
Right. I don't disagree. I just don't think that right now it's all that surprising or unusual for him. The thing that Jared, I think, is downplaying, and a lot of people probably are, and I get it, because in general I agree that, like, NWI should not be one of your top two. He's a good, solid player. He'd be a good backup on a lot of teams. But also, like, I think he's going to make some plays. The ceiling for him is not the same as for a Burks. That's why they drafted Burks in the first round, and Westbrook Akine was not drafted. You want that transition to take place. But some of this is, the bottom line is, Mike Vrabel, the Titans coaches are going to go with their best players, and Tannehill has some really good chemistry right now with those two guys, Woods and Westbrook Akine. So it's not just Burks needing his time, but also I don't know why we're surprised that he would, especially after the spring.
Well, I mean, I agree with that, but, you know, the first few days of training camp, he was out there lighting it up. I mean, it's one of those things where the ability, I think we know what the ability is. We've seen the ability in college. We've seen glimpses of it here. Like, he needs to be able to get out there and produce on a consistent basis. Like, you talk about, you know, where the big play is going to come from in this offense. You know, obviously Derrick Henry is the number one area you look in the running game, but passing game wise, like, he's what I'm looking at. Robert Woods is a really good player. You know, how many big plays, quote unquote, is Robert Woods going to make? I don't know. I mean, he's made some in his career, so it's not like he can't do it. But to me, Treylon Burks is their big play guy at receiver, I think, or he should be.
Well, yeah. No, they need to figure out ways to give him opportunities to do that right away. But we'll go back to what we've talked about with A.J. Brown. First year, they did not feel comfortable with A.J. Brown being a starter who was out on the field all the time in 2019. First game, he took a little, short pass from Mariota and turned it into a touchdown, and it was like, oh, there it is. But it took him a while to get into the lineup. And if that's the scenario with Burks, they can find a way here and there for him to make some big plays. First of all, that's going to help the offense a lot just to have anyone make big plays. And if he can be second month of the season like A.J. Brown and get into the more than half the snaps, to me that would be success. I mean, that's a pretty good roadmap for him to follow.
By the way, apparently AJ was playing pretty well yesterday at the joint practice between the Eagles and the Dolphins. He saw a video of Tyreek Hill just torching somebody yesterday, and he's like, "Well, what about us? Did you see us on the other side of the ball?" Twitter game remains strong from AJ Brown, man. He's in there.
So he's not doing the tail of the wand right now, is what you're telling me.
He is actively on social media. There's no question about it. 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. We'll continue the conversation on the Titans. We'll also have your next chance to join the Robbie and Rex Road Fantasy Football League coming up next as well. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Thursday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. We'll have the Rex Rant with Joe Rex Road coming up at 7:45. Trey Wallace from Outkick joining the show at 8 o'clock to talk a little college football as well. Joe Rex Road, we have 7 spots remaining that are open in the Robbie and Rex Road Fantasy Football League. 1 spot given away yesterday. We'll give a spot away today, a spot away tomorrow, and then 5 spots next week as well for the second edition of the Robbie and Rex Road Fantasy Football League. So looking forward to that. And we're going to give them away via trivia question every day on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. And today's trivia question for a spot in the Robbie and Rex Road Fantasy Football League is this. We all know the most famous play in Titans history was the Music City Miracle. The play was called Home Run Throwback as they scored the touchdown against Buffalo to advance against the Bills and get to the divisional round of the playoffs back then in 99-2000. Kevin Dyson was the guy who scored the touchdown. Who was supposed to be the receiver who scored the touchdown on that play? A lot of people don't know. Kevin Dyson wasn't supposed to be out there. Who was supposed to be out there for the Titans to score the touchdown in the Music City Miracle? If you know the answer, hit up our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Joe, don't say it, but do you know the answer?
I think I do, okay. But I'm not 100%.
Okay. Well, we'll wait and see how many answers roll in on the text line. This is one where you got to go back a ways. I think you can do some deductive reasoning, and you may be able to figure it out, but a lot of people don't know. I think we already have a winner on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Dennis is our winner on the text line. Derek Mason was supposed to be the player who scored the touchdown. I think he was dealing with like a concussion or something at the time, so Kevin Dyson was the guy.
That was my guess, and this means I believe that Dennis, he was quick on the draw yesterday too, but had his answer wrong. But this, I believe, means Dennis is a repeat member of the Fantasy Football League.
It looks like he is. So Dennis, our winner today in the second edition of the Robbie and Rex Road Fantasy Football League. We will have 6 more spots to give away for the second year of the Robbie and Rex Road Fantasy Football League. So looking forward to that. Got some of your thoughts to get to on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. I got a texter that says, why are we even talking about the passing game with Ryan Tannehill at quarterback? Stop talking about the what-ifs in the passing game with Ryan Tannehill as the quarterback. Okay?
I guess we could stop talking. We could just not watch. Cover your eyes. Will he throw a completion this year?
That's this conversation has gotten so stupid around Ryan Tannehill. I have no patience for stupidity, and we've gotten a lot of stupid thoughts on Ryan Tannehill on the text line over the course of the year. Is he good enough to win a Super Bowl? Probably not. The guy is a good NFL quarterback. Like, why is this happening? Like, all of a sudden he's gone like full Marcus Mariota here with me. Can't complete a pass. Can't do anything. Why are they even playing the season?
I like that you brought up Mariota as someone who exaggerated how bad he was.
I don't know if I exaggerated.
There's got to be some irony. Well, I will say this. Now I feel I want to go back to the Jared interview because I forgot to ask him about Tannehill's 4th pick in camp and what that means about his season. Is it not time to start freaking out about Tannehill after he threw a 4th pick in camp? I don't know.
Now, wasn't that pick yesterday that he threw is like the last play at 2 minute and he had to throw it anyway? Just throw it up there?
If you want to make excuses for him, that's fine.
I just don't understand. Like, I get it. Ryan Tannehill is a lightning rod right now. I understand that. But you know, people are acting like he's Geno Smith out there. Which, by the way, did you see Pete Carroll talking about Drew Locke and Geno Smith? He's like, well, we might have 2 number ones. No. Might have 2 number one quarterbacks. It's like, okay, Pete, whatever you need to tell yourself.
That situation is just incredible.
I mean, is it not out of the realm of possibility that maybe Ryan Tannehill might play well this year? Like, he might be okay? He might not throw 14 interceptions this year? Like, is that not at least plausible?
Yeah, I think so. Look, it's on the one hand, the last time out was so bad that I if any Titans fan is just like, I'm out on him, I get it, but it's like you have a good football team and he's still a – I mean, I think he's going to be good this year as long as he gets enough help. And, yes, it gets very exaggerated on how bad he is now. Well, shoot. Let's just go back to the months of, like, you know, January and February. He was the worst quarterback to ever, you know, put a helmet on. So, but there's a wide range. Someone on the text on here on name says he's definitely good enough to win a Super Bowl. People are just stupid. I mean, I'm more on your side that, like, I would not – those conditions would have to be awfully sweet in a lot of different ways for him to be a Super Bowl winning quarterback.
I agree. But there's a middle ground somewhere in here. Like, he's not just total dog water out there.
Well, look, it's like, you know, it's like to Michelle's point on worse in sports. Let's simulate a season with Malik Willis as the Titans starting quarterback. I'll go ahead and put him down for, I don't know, 4-13. I mean, seriously. And with Tannehill, I think they're probably going to go about 10-7. So, like, at some point, Titans are going to move on from Tannehill. It is far from a sure bet that they're going to have someone as good as him anytime soon. I mean, that's the difficulty of you know, finding a quarterback in this league.
This is the thing that I keep coming back to. There are two different discussions here. Is he good enough to win a Super Bowl? My answer is no. And that's where you are in the window, and I understand that. So you got to find some way to win and compete for a Super Bowl. And right now, I don't know that they can do it with Ryan Tannehill as the quarterback. I don't know. I don't think they can. But we'll see what happens on that front. He's also, I think, pretty unquestionably the second best quarterback in the history of the Titans, and it's probably not all that close. Like, there's McNair, and then there's Tannehill, and I don't even know who's challenging those two. I'm not talking about Warren Moon. I'm talking about Titans.
Titans history. Kerry Collins, I guess.
I mean, I guess. I mean, it's been bad around here at quarterback for a long time. So again, I don't know, I didn't plan on like defending Ryan Tannehill today, but some of the discussion with him has gotten off the rails, man.
Yeah, it's, well, shoot. We were talking, is he the best when he was in the midst of that ridiculous 2020 season, you know, is this best? And I think the case can be made. I mean, McNair was a co-MVP, so that's what it is, you know. Ryan Tannehill's never going to sniff an MVP. But I think you could make the case that in 2020, that quarterback play was the best quarterback play the Titans have had in their history.
Got a text that says, when he gets benched, I want an apology on the air. If you think Ryan Tannehill's getting benched for Malik Willis this year, you are out of your freaking mind. You're out of your mind. I don't know what else to say.
Yeah, it's like, it's just not, it's not remotely.
It's not possible.
Unless there is it's injury related. Like, it's not an injury that's serious enough for him to be knocked out, but it's affecting his performance so severely. And they pick up another backup quarterback, someone that they don't have on the roster now. Or I guess everything falls apart and they're basically out of it. And then they're like they're 5-9 or something. And it's like, okay, well, put the kid in. Let's see what he's got. Like, these are the only scenarios. This idea that he's going to be benched on performance for either of those two guys is laughably dumb.
Jared texted me on my own personal text line, says, what is Joe talking about with AJ? AJ was the second wide receiver from day one. That's why they got rid of Taywan Taylor. This is coming from our good friend Jared Stillman, who should supposedly be in the pool.
Okay. All right. I'll go to the stats here, Jared. It is a different situation. I'll acknowledge that. Like, AJ Brown, I mean, AJ Brown, and it's a different situation when you're a second round pick anyway, right? I mean, it was like, ooh, this guy. But this is A.J. Brown's percentage of snaps 2019, 42% in the opener, 46, 49, 42, first four games of his rookie season. So you can say he's a number two receiver, and again, they didn't have great receiver depth, and they had Tajay Sharpe, who I think actually got a lot of those snaps, and eventually, and you could draw a little parallel with Sharpe and Westbrook Akine, although I think Westbrook Akine is definitely better than him. And then the next four games, 65%, 58%, 63%, 61%. That's more starting receiver, different formations, right? You know, different situations. Those are more starting receiver numbers. A.J. Brown was used somewhat sparingly early in his rookie season. He made some big plays. Midway through the season, he had earned his way to and earned more trust to be out there a lot more often.
There we go. 615.
Sorry, Jared. Sorry for the facts, Jared. But I looked forward to you mangling them.
615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. Coming up next, it is time for the Rex Rant with Joe Rexrow. Looking forward to that. It is fantasy football season, and my friends at Twin Peaks are ready to hook you up for your fantasy football draft party, which includes a draft board, player stickers, free Wi-Fi, a $50 bonus for the commish, and a $5 bonus card for each drafter as well. And when you're not on the clock, relax with one of Twin Peaks' refreshing 29-degree beers, or order for the whole team. They got a lot of great food to sample from. They've got shareables like double stack nachos, loaded fries, and multiple flavors of great boneless wings as well. So call Twin Peaks in Cool Springs to book your fantasy football draft party at 615-221-0869. That's 615-221-0869. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, The Game.
The time is now for the Rex Rant.
Sounds like somebody's got a case of the Mondays.
On Robbie and Rex Road, here on ESPN, 1025 The Game, and the Game Nashville app. Can you take me higher? To a
place. And it is that time of the day, time for the Rex Rant with Joe Rex Road here on Robbie and Rex Road. You can check it out every morning at 7:45 here on the program. Joe Rex Road. This music can only mean one thing. It's time for your rant. I turn things over to you.
Thank you. Let me just let this absorb a little bit, though.
I mean, why wouldn't you?
Scotty, when is Scott coming in, by the way? Is he coming in?
Working on it.
Okay. Again, if we can do something for society where he is in a studio talking sports or talking about whatever with people, and that means he can't be doing anything musically in the world, I think that we've made the world a better place.
I would just like to again point out that Joe Rexrow does not speak for the entire show
when we start having this conversation. Yeah, I love this song.
So if Rexrow wants to be disrespectful, that's on him, but I will not participate in that.
I think at some point you need to play the "With Arms Wide Open."
Why would we? Probably at some point need to have an entire Creed show of songs coming back.
Ooh, that would be great, Rob.
Let's see if we can get that done.
When I just heard the news today,
nailed it.
Good stuff. Yeah, thank you. All right, here's my rant. Don't talk to me on a plane, okay? Don't talk to me. I'm sorry. I just don't talk to me. And honestly, I hate to be that person. I really do. I fancy myself a social, friendly person. Like in most situations, I like talking to people, I like being social, I like being friendly. Not quite how my dad was growing up, who absolutely the number one. He will strike up a conversation with anyone at any point and have a full conversation, including on 15-hour flights to the Middle East. When we lived there, he might talk the whole plane with whoever he may have been sitting next to. Now, I'm not him, but typically pretty friendly, pretty social. I do not want to talk to you on a plane. And maybe it's just this as I get older, being bothered by flying, which is really weird and unsettling to me, and probably has something to do with that engine that exploded on that plane back in 2017 on the way to Cleveland. I don't know, but this is what happened yesterday. Someone starts talking to me about stuff, and and I get out the AirPods and I put them in my ears like I'm sorry. And then luckily the two people next to me talk to each other the entire flight. They talked about, and good for them. I think if you can pass the time with a flight and just talk to a random stranger about your life, I think that's wonderful. I don't want to be involved in that, okay? And call me a curmudgeon, or a jerk. I kind of feel like that saying it, but it's just how I feel. Like, I just want to sit here quietly and either listen to music, sleep, you know, maybe I'm doing work. I don't want to chit chat on a plane. So I don't know. You tell me, am I being ridiculous here? I just hate it. And I don't know why.
Well, I can't say that I've ever had, you know, a ton of stranger conversation on a plane. Like, most people just don't talk, which I'm totally cool with. Now that I think about it, I don't even think I really talk to people I know on the plane. Like, people I'm sitting next to that I know.
Same.
I'm like, you know what? You enjoy your music or your movie or whatever it is you're doing over there. I'm going to read a book or I'm going to sit here and do something. But there's not a whole lot of conversation for me that typically takes place on the plane. So, no, I don't think you're being unreasonable here. I mean, there's a certain level of small talk that I'm okay with. And then after about, you know, 2 to 3 minutes of that, you pretty much run out of everything there is to say. And it's like, all right, well, let's both move on with our day here. Hope you have a great flight.
I mean, these people next to me yesterday, they absolutely shared their life story. And that was kind of like, I'm not going to get mad about that. I mean, I had my music playing, you know, so it's fine. But it was amazing. Like, an hour and a half flight, and they did not stop. And, you know, one of them, the one next to me, started trying to make time, like, yeah, okay, earmuffs. But they actually talked the entire flight. It's, again, if that's how you like to pass the time, I think that's very nice. And it's like, okay, and good luck with you on your life. I mean, there's nothing wrong with it. I just, when it happens, I get this, like, dread. Like, I even try to not even look at people. Yeah. Like, I'll sit down, and it's like, hi, how you doing? And then just don't make eye contact. And usually what you want to do is you put those AirPods in your ears preemptively. I did not do that yesterday. But if you do that, then that's a little bit extra protection for someone trying to talk to you.
Have you ever had headphones in and that you're not listening to anything and someone's trying to talk to you and you still ignore them? Because I have.
1,000%.
Like, I can't hear them. Like, oh, sorry, I can't hear you. Don't know. Don't know what's going on.
Also,
100% have done that.
Rex, two things. Remember a year ago when you had no idea how to use AirPods on this show?
Oh, yeah.
And second,
come a long way.
I completely agree with you, but I often find myself not being able to completely ignore the people. So I end up having these conversations, but I want to sleep so bad, but I can't in me, like, try to ignore the person.
That's the thing. I'm not a big plane sleeper either. I mean, I've done it maybe one time ever. I think I've fallen asleep on a plane one time. So it's not and that was after a Preds playoff game where I was up for like 29 consecutive hours. So I'm not a huge sleeper on the plane. I just don't know. I mean, most of the time I either try to fly either really early in the morning or late at night too. So maybe that has something to do with it. But I've just never really run across that many people that are all that eager to have a conversation with me on a plane. Maybe you're just a jovial personality, Joe. You just connect with other people.
Well, no, I honestly can't remember the last time this happened. Because, again, usually it's I got the preemptive AirPods, which, again, whether I can use them or not, I can at least plug them into my ear, right? And it's been a while since this happened. And it was just like, oh, no, not you're not one of those people.
Well, maybe it's the no masks. Remember that? Because people had masks and they couldn't really talk, and now... That could be.
That could be. That could be. I don't know. I really kind of feel like a jerk, you know, saying this, but this is how I feel. Like Viking Matt says, get off my plane, Joe. P.S. Get off my lawn. And I hear what you're saying.
Well, I'll say this. I'd much rather talk on a plane. Like, the worst one ever, and this does not happen frequently, but it has happened a couple of times, is like you're in the men's room, you're at the urinal, and then people want to have a conversation. It's like, no, man, now's not time to be talking to me. Go do anything else. This is not a conversation room. We're in and out. We move on with our day. Don't really need to be talking to each other. Thank you, though.
No. If someone's trying to strike up and talk while you're standing next to them at a urinal,
it happens.
No.
I was so shocked the first time it happened to me. I was like, oh, are you talking to me? What's going on here? Okay.
How's that stream, buddy? You know what, man? Just eyes straight ahead.
Rob from Clarksville on the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com says, I built a home gym so that I wouldn't have to talk to people at the YMCA in the mornings. I'm a morning person in the fact that I like to work out, but I'm not a morning person where I want to talk to you. This is from Rob from Clarksville on the text line. Built a home gym to avoid conversation with other people.
Now that is going, if I could, you know, if I could build a little helicopter, I would. Seth calls me Jovial Joe Rexwoke.
There we go. At least we could probably toss Rex Rod in there somewhere too.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
John
Rex Rod's report.
Yeah. John on the text line says, only if the flight is making me nervous or giving me anxiety, I'll try talking to distract myself. Otherwise, let me sleep. Also, the headphones with no sound is what I do at work. It's a very effective strategy.
Like, if I'm freaking out or something and there's, like, terrible turbulence, I'm not going to, so anyway, where are you headed, huh?
So.
I like your shirt. What?
Then there's also the people that, like, they're not asleep, but they've got the headphones in, and the people are, like, the stewardess are coming by and, like, what do you want to drink? And they're just sitting there, and they have to tap them on the shoulder, like, 8 times. It's like, do you not see this person walking down the hallway? They're coming right to you every time.
Well, but see, that's where, to me, the good flight attendant looks and okay, I'm not even going to bother that person. If you're tapping people who are sleeping,
weren't sleeping.
They're just
staring off into the distance.
They're staring. I got you. Right. Okay. Yeah. They're sleeping and they're tapping on the shoulder.
That's not good.
A problem. Yeah, I got you. Tyler says, I make sure I say something very undesirable right out of the gate, like I'm trying to get out of jury duty. That's good.
Totally avoid conversation at all costs. I love it. This has been the Rex Rant with Joe Rexroad. You can check it out every morning at 7:45 here on Robbie and Rexroad. Coming up next, we'll be joined by Trey Wallace from Outkick. We'll get his thoughts on the Vols and a little SEC football as well. This is Robbie and Rexroad, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.